The little children sang today. It wasn't planned, but the little children are in the message in Matthew chapter 21 today. I'd like you to think about the fact that this morning is Palm Sunday, and this is celebrated on the Christian calendar. And you might want to ask, what's the difference between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, which is coming up next week? First, on Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, the Lord presented himself in a public and official way to the nation of Israel to save them and to rule over them as king. He offered that very privileged nation himself on Palm Sunday as their Messiah king. However, this coming Wednesday, he was Passover, and they crucified him and put him in the grave there on that first Sabbath, which was first fruits, which would have been 6 p.m. Wednesday night, our time. And he was in the grave until the dark period of Easter Sunday morning, and then he rose from the dead. And we're celebrating that this coming Easter, his resurrection. So on our calendar this morning, it's Palm Sunday. Next Sunday's Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And this morning, I want to preach to you from Matthew 21. I had written it Matthew 23, but it's Matthew 21, 1 through 17. And I want you to notice that the congregation of Israel were gathered together in Jerusalem, probably to get ready for the Passover. And for the most part, the people that gathered together on that first Palm Sunday failed to benefit from the Lord offering himself to the nation as the Messiah King. The congregation didn't get the blessing. And I want to say this, sadly, on this Palm Sunday, the same thing is true of most people gathered together in church services across this nation and across the world. But I want to preach to you this morning on a Palm Sunday presentation for you from Matthew 21, 1 through 17. And I want to tell you about three things from this chapter about a presentation for you on this Palm Sunday, you that are gathered here in this congregation on this Palm Sunday. And the first thing is the command of Christ for you, the command of Christ. And I want you to notice in verse 6 of Matthew 21, verse 6, it says, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them." You know, the word disciple means a follower, somebody that's following Jesus. Are you following Jesus? I've been following Jesus ever since I met him as my personal Savior when I was 17. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that means you're going to follow his commands. And where are his commands? They're contained in the Word of God, the Bible. That's the will of God for your life. That's why a church needs to be a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church. And we open the Word of God today because it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Number one, are you a disciple and are you doing what Jesus commands you to do? One of the things that he wanted his disciples to do is to present him to the public, to present him to the congregation gathered there as their king and as their savior. And when he is your savior, he becomes your king. He rules over your heart and over your life. And has he ever saved you, and is he the ruler over your life? He exerts a ruling influence, not by fear of punishment, but by the power of his love and of his grace in your life. Are you motivated by that today? And I'm saying the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior and King, he must come and offer himself to be that through the door of Bible prophecy. In fact, he himself put it this way in John chapter 10, verse 2. "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." In other words, if he didn't come by fulfilling Bible prophecy, then he would be a fake. You know, you hear about fake news today and fake people. Well, he would be a fake savior. And there are a lot of people that say that he is. But I read the Bible and I found out that Jesus came by way of the door of Bible prophecy. There's a great teacher by the name of Alfred Edersheim. And I remember when I was in Bible college, I was introduced to Alfred Edersheim. He found 456 Old Testament verses referring to the Messiah or the times of the Messiah. And you know what? Jesus fulfilled all of those verses of prophecy. Conservatively, the Lord Jesus fulfilled at least specifically 300 Old Testament prophecies. And as you read your Bible, you'll see that he was constantly concerned that he would command his disciples that what we're doing it according to what God says in the Bible. By the way, we're in the second coming time of Jesus. We're getting close to the end. I'll be preaching on that tonight, and I'm preaching on so many Bible prophecies that lead up to his second coming, and they're all going to come to pass, and they're beginning to come to pass. And we should, if you're here today, you shouldn't just be following the rituals and routines of people, like they say he died on Good Friday. No, he died on Wednesday, Passover. And we need to go by the Bible, not by tradition, because God is the God of the Bible. This isn't a dead book. This is, if you have this old King James Bible, it's the living Word of God. It's alive today. We're alive if we're saved. So what prophecy, you know, did Jesus fulfill here? We're going to talk about that. But I want to say that Jesus wanted his disciples to present him to the public. Now, we go out telling people about Jesus. We went out Thursday night. I went out with my partner who's back there, and he has a church track, and he gives the person the church track, and then he holds the church track, and he has them look on the back of the track, and it has the Bible way to heaven. It tells you how you can go to heaven. And he'll have them read with him, "All men are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And because of your sin, when you try to get into heaven, you're not going to make it, because every person sins and God won't accept that. You got to be perfect to get into heaven by being good, and nobody's that good. Everybody's a sinner. Then it says there's a price for sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That means you earn money at your job. Well, when you sin, you don't earn money. You earn what? Death. And what's the second death? To die and then be cast into hell. And that's what the Bible says. And then it says the good news, "But God commendeth his love toward us." And my partner has them read that, and he reads with it. "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the Christ of the Bible, the Messiah, I heard a great Jewish teacher recently, and he tries to convert Christians back out of Christianity to Judaism. He said, "There's nothing about the Messiah dying." "What about Isaiah 53? Well, he says that's Israel, and he goes into a bunch of, "What about Psalm 22? And there's so many scriptures. Zechariah talks about the ones that they pierced. There's so many scriptures. Messiah has to die for your sins. If he didn't die for your sins, you have to die and pay for your sins. And that's what it says in Romans 5:8. It's the love of God that Christ died. And then lastly, you have to receive Christ by faith. He didn't just die, he came alive. When I was 17, I was told the good news, and I saw it, and I embraced Christ's gift for myself, and I said, "Lord, I receive you." You don't give him anything. You reach up the empty hands of faith, and you receive Christ. That is the Messiah. I'm just simply saying to you, the Lord commands his disciples to offer people, you're being offered today, if you've never received Christ, the gift of God, which is Christ's death can take away your sins. He was a Jewish Messiah, but he died for what? The world. For God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. What a blessing that is. I'm saying, are you a disciple of Christ? Then you're following the Word of God. If you're following the Word of God, are you bringing others to faith in Christ? Are you telling them what Jesus did for the world so that they are being offered and you are being offered, teenager, adult, young person, you're being offered a free gift, and that's to live forever. I got excited when I heard that, and that gave me salvation, but I became a disciple when I was 17, and I've been following Jesus. And so the Palm Sunday presentation is the command of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, well, what prophecy did Christ fulfill on Palm Sunday? Well, it was a prophecy given about 487 years before Christ was even born in Bethlehem. And it's found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I'll read it. He says there, the prophet wrote down, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." What's Zion? "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." Zion is in Jerusalem. It's the temple. "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." In other words, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah that would ride a white horse. And the Bible says our Messiah is going to ride a white horse because he's a king, and a king should ride on a big white steed, you know. He's going to come out of heaven riding a white horse. But listen to me, when he came the first time, he didn't come to be the king. He came to be crowned with thorns and have blood run down. He came to be mocked and spit upon. He came to be crucified. Why? Because our sin has to be paid for. And his love said, "Crown me the king of love." You know, he'll reign over your heart, but you first have to see him as a loving savior who bled and suffered and died to give you a free gift. And so this is what this is talking about, that the command of Christ is to fulfill the prophecy that he would come on a donkey, and there would be a little, it would be a female donkey, and her little foal would go along with him as he went down there and presented himself. I walked down that path when I went to Israel, where he walked down when he went into Jerusalem, and the people were excited about him. And the Bible says what Jesus commanded his disciples. He said, "Go into a village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." That prophecy was 487 years before, and now Jesus is doing exactly what it said. You know what? What's going on in Iran is prophesied, and this thing is going to end exactly as the prophet Jeremiah said. I've been preaching on that for 17 years before it happened. What I'm telling you today is the God's honest truth. It's Bible prophecy. And Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that he would come on a donkey, showing that he came here. He said, I didn't come to be the big boss and the Lord. I came to give my life and serve people by giving my life for them. And so today he's offering you something great. You know, after the service, you're going to be served what? Not a banana split. It's a hot fudge sundae. Thank you. And you just reach up and take it. You don't take your wallet out and say, "How much do I owe you?" You see, people are giving it to you because they love you. They want to present to you the love of God. And that's what Jesus is doing in the message this morning. He is giving a command to us as his disciples, if you're here and you're a disciple, to present to unsaved people the word of God, the truth about Jesus, so that you can accept him and have your sins forgiven, and then you can confess him by getting baptized, getting dunked under the water, if you've accepted him. And that's the first step of being a disciple. So are you a disciple yet? Have you received the offer of God who commands us to present himself as the Savior of the world? And that's what was happening there in that first command. And it was in a place called Bethpage, and he told him to go in another village just near Bethpage, right on top of the Mount of Olives, that was, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. I believe that village might have been Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. But at any rate, they got the donkey, and it fulfilled Bible prophecy. Boy, if you're a disciple of Christ, you need to get you a Bible. Amen? A good old King James Bible. Get in the Bible. Bring it to church. I used to go to a church that didn't bring the Bible to church. And it was all about confessions and catechisms and all that. And they were all good and well, but they didn't have a Bible, and they didn't really get in the Bible and teach us to get in the Bible. But when I went to a Baptist church as a teenager, I went to a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. David Otis Fuller was the pastor. Everybody had a Bible. They were like carrying a Bible around. I was like, what is this? These people are like fanatics. They carry the Bible with them to church. Man, but you know what? That's what disciples do. We're following Jesus, so we have to. This is a paper pope right here, the Bible, but it's alive, the words of God. And so we're commanded to follow the commands of the Bible, and we'll be following Jesus. Are you doing that? But secondly, this presentation, this Palm Sunday presentation, involves not only a command of Christ, but the confusion of the congregation. They were confused. You know, some people are more confused about Jesus and the Bible than a termite in a yo-yo. And they're easily led astray by people. And these people, they knew some facts about Jesus, but they were confused. And I want you to look at this. I want you to see, first of all, look at me at verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 21. I'll read it. It says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I wonder, are you confused this morning, or are you pretty much understanding? If you're confused and you say, I need to be straight on things, the Word of God will straighten you out. Some people say, are you straight or gay? Well, it's either are you straight or a sodomite. The Word of God will straighten you out. I knew a guy that was a sodomite, and he got saved, and the Word of God straightened him out. And some sodomites were going to moon us out in front of the church, and we served cold bottles of water for them on a hot summer day. And this guy, who was a former sodomite, came with me. He's now a born-again disciple of Jesus. And he said, Pastor, I'll be here and tell these sodomites about how they can be saved and how they can be straight and not be crooked and perverted and messed up like happened. And you know what? He can straighten you out, and he can do that in your life. Whatever your perversion is, he can straighten you out, because he's Jesus. But this crowd needed straightening out. They were confused. Now, you say, well, they were spreading palm branches. I went to Israel. There's a lot of palm trees there. They have a climate like California, you know, Southern California's Mediterranean climate. Beautiful climate, Israel. And they have these beautiful palm trees, and they were like cutting the branches and pulling them down, and they were putting them in the way to show honor to this Lord, this Messiah that was coming. And this multitude knew some important facts about Jesus. They knew he was the Son of David. By the way, if you trace his genealogy, the Bible said the Messiah would come through David. Even Jewish people that don't believe in Jesus believe that. They know he's going to come through David. Well, if you trace his genealogy, he did come through Mary, through David, and he came through his adopted father, Joseph, through David, in different family members of the family of David. So they had that right. And then they said that he was a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, that was actually better than the Jewish teachers of that day, because the Jewish teachers, remember, they told Nicodemus, the Pharisees, they said, he's not a prophet. He's not a prophet because check out the Bible. We know the Bible. There's no prophet out of Galilee. You think they're right when they said that to Nicodemus? Apparently, Nicodemus didn't have an argument. You know, I listened to a Jewish teacher who's Rabbi Tovia, and this guy knows New Testament verses, Old Testament verses, and his whole job is to talk Christians out of believing in the Messiah Jesus. And he goes into the Bible, but he's blinded, you see. He misses things. I've watched him. He's very smart. But a lot of people can get confused by people like that. And people that are in the cults, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they're Jehovah's false witnesses, they confuse people. You know why they confuse people? Because they know facts about Jesus. By the way, Jesus was from Galilee, and there was a prophet from Galilee. You know who that was? Jonah. He was from Gath Hepher, which is Galilee. So they were wrong about that. He was a prophet from Galilee, but he was more than a prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Savior of the world. And these people were confused. You know why they were confused? They were like some of you here today. You know facts from the Bible about Jesus, but people can confuse you because you don't know him. You don't know him personally. And when I got Jesus, he came into my heart by the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. And you can understand when you're hearing truth from the Bible, because you don't just know about Jesus. Listen to me. You know Jesus personally. And so are you confused today, or are you being straightened out because you accepted the Lord and you're following his word? And that is such a blessing. Now, another thing about this confused crowd, and this shows that they're confused. They were there on Palm Sunday, and they were saying, Hosanna. You know what Hosanna means? Save now. Save now. Oh, we know you're a prophet. We know you're the son of David. So you are the Messiah. And now we ask you to save us. Now, do you know what they were confused about? When they said save now, they weren't thinking about wash away our sins because we're such sinners and we need to be saved from hell. No, they didn't think that way. They thought save us from the Romans. Get on a horse, a white horse, charged with armies, and save us from the Romans. He said, I didn't come to do that. Now, there will be a day he'll save them from the Roman leader, the revived Roman beast. But not then. He came to save us from our sins. Have you been saved from your sins? If not, you're going to be confused. And they were confused because they didn't know him as their personal savior. They just thought of him as this bread giver, bread factory, free food. You know, this Messiah will give us free food, free money. He'll get, you know, everything is free. I like what John Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. When you get saved, it's a free gift, but it's not a free ride. You'll want to do things for others. You'll want to show love because that's the way Jesus was, right? And you'll want to serve in the bus ministry or serve. It's service. Jesus was spit upon for his service, but he served gladly because he's giving us the love of God. These people were confused about all of that, and they didn't really accept him for who he was. And so that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees that Wednesday were able to have fake news, and they put out the fake news of the day, and they said, oh, he's an imposter. And they said, oh, our leaders are saying he's an imposter. Okay, what are we supposed to say? When they asked about him, you've been saying Hosanna, now say crucify him, crucify him. And they were manipulated to change. Boy, people in America, they don't even know how to vote right. They get all confused about what's going on because I believe many people need Christ in their heart to know how to vote right and to live right and to make right decisions in their life. The Bible says in Romans 1, people have reprobate minds. That means unprincipled minds. They can't make moral decisions. But if you get saved, oh, he makes a change in your life, and you're no longer going to be confused. You'll have the blinders ripped away from your eyes. And you know, the Bible says that generation that was praising him, saying, Hosanna, crucified him and called for him to be crucified. And they did crucify him, and they were judged as a nation for it. This was the last formal offering of Jesus, the Messiah, to the nation of Israel. And now God said, I'm going to put blinders on your eyes, and you're not going to be able to see your own Messiah in the Bible unless I rip those blinders away. By the way, unless the Lord rips the blinders away from your eyes, you'll just see a dead book here. You won't see the living Lord and know him and follow him. But we're praying for that he rips those blinders away. Because there's coming a day when that congregation is going to see Jesus touch down on the earth. And after the great tribulation and day of the Lord, he's going to take them out of hiding during the final period of the day of the Lord. He's going to take them out of hiding, and he is going to march back into Jerusalem. Do you know Jesus is coming back and going to enter the eastern gate into Jerusalem? And do you know what they're going to say then? That same crowd that said, Hosanna, one day, and then Wednesday they said, crucify him. You know what they're going to say when he comes back? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says this, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for only son. You know, when you lose a son like the Sabotniks have and like Marilla has, you mourn. And her family, you mourn. The Bible says the Jewish people, when he comes back, that the ones that are here now, they're going to mourn. Oh, we pierced him. We shouldn't have done that. He's our brother. He's our Savior. And they're going to repent and accept him and be saved by him. Would to God that you would see that your sin has been putting nails in Jesus' hands. That's why he died. Your sin put the crown of thorns upon his head. Your sin spit in his face. But if you accept him as your Savior, his blood and his death will take away your sin. And guess what? You won't be confused anymore. Amen. I used to be more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. But not anymore. I'm straightened out. And I'm now following the commands of Christ. I no longer have the confusion of the congregation. And this Palm Sunday presentation, there's one more thing I want to share, and that's the condemnation of the chiefs. Not the Kansas City chiefs, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders, the condemnation of the chiefs. And I'd like you to look at verse 12 of Matthew 21. I'm going to read it. And verse 13, he says there, and Jesus went into the temple of God. That's after he came in to offer himself as Messiah, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, you know what they used to do? They said, you want to serve God? Oh, we'll help you serve God. We're the people that lead you, and we're the preachers in the church, so to speak. We're the pastors. We're the leaders. You come to our church, or we're the priests, you know. You come to us, and we'll help you. You can't use Roman money, so you give us your Roman money, that dirty Roman money, and we'll give you Jewish money, God's people's money, and then you could buy sacrifices. The only thing is, they ripped them off. They didn't give them what their Roman money was worth. They took the Roman money and gave them a big loss in price. It was a money-making operation. Jesus cleansed the temple twice, one at the beginning of his 3.5 years of ministry and one at the end. This is at the end. And he is telling them, your house, your temple is corrupt. By the way, do you know the temple is going to be rebuilt very shortly in Jerusalem? I'll be preaching on that tonight, amongst other things. But it's going to be corrupted. It's going to be corrupted by the Jewish Antichrist and the beast. going to be corrupted. God's going to have to judge that one and cleanse that one and remove it and replace it with his house. What did Jesus say? Look at the next verse. Jesus said in verse 13, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves." In other words, all they wanted to do was make a lot of money. I'll be honest with you today. You've probably heard people say it. You say, "Pastor, amen, I believe you." A lot of churches are just in it for the money. They're just in it to make money out of the people, and they say, you know, you send in your money and we'll send you a prayer cloth or something like that. And they claim to be praying for it and they claim to care for it. The Bible says it's with hypocrisy. There's a lot of hypocrisy, and it's going on, and that is the greater damnation. Churches like that receive the greater damnation. You see, you can either use money to get people, or you can use people to get their money and fleece them. Which are you doing? The Bible said that's what these people were doing. And you know what? That is a sad thing. And Jesus said, I'm cleansing that. I'm so angry, I'm turning over the tables, and the doves went flying and the money went flying, you know. And he just marched right in there and he cleansed that house. You know, I think January 6th, the house needed to be cleansed. And I'm just simply saying that America needs to be cleansed. Amen. And how about the churches? The churches need to be cleansed. We need to get back to God. We need to get back to the Bible. And we need to get back to the presentation this Palm Sunday that the Lord gave, that we would receive Jesus Christ and then become disciples of Christ. Are you just going to be here on a Palm Sunday, maybe on an Easter Sunday, or are you going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday? Are you going to be here and be a faithful disciple of Christ? Well, these people were not like that. They were just in it for the money. We read in Matthew 23 how they told the people to do all these things, but they didn't do any of it. They said, don't commit adultery. They were committing adultery. It was just hypocrisy all over the place. And guess what? When Jesus offered himself as the Messiah, they said, we don't want him. We've got our position in the Roman government. He's going to mess us up. We think the only answer for him is to take him out. You know what that means, right? Assassination. And that's what they did. He said, the high priest said, it's better that one man die than all of us die. We want to live. We'll let him die. And he didn't even know it, but he was sharing a prophecy that Jesus was dying for the nation of Israel, not just for the nation of Israel. He was also dying for the world. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been. If you come to Christ and you say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, he'll wash you white. He'll straighten you out this morning. And so we're here to say these people were condemned, and they were very displeased by what it says in verse 14 through 16. Follow along. I'll read this in closing here. It says in verse 14, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple." Look at that, the blind and the lame. "And he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna." Hey, remember we had the little children singing today? Wasn't that great? Here you have these little kids. The big adults, the smart adults, they didn't accept him. You know what? A child shall lead some of you. Maybe you're a grandparent today and your child helped you to get to church this morning. Maybe you're a parent. Yeah, he's leading. That child can lead you to Jesus if you listen to the little child. Do you know more little children get saved than older adults? Yes, they do. Why? Because Jesus said, except you be like a child and accept it by faith, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to enter in. And so here they were. They were praising him. Hosanna to the Son of David. And when he did that, when they did that, it says they were sore displeased. Sore means they were sore. They were very displeased at what was going on. And they said to him, here's what the leader said. The chiefs said to him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Now, what was Jesus saying there? He was saying, you know what? Little children are raised up to praise me when adults reject me. We saw little children praising God, and they're in church. Isn't that great? You know, that's a quote from Psalm 8, and it's another prophecy about the Messiah, that the leaders would reject him, but the children would praise him. Could it be that you'll leave church today and reject this message, reject this Messiah, this Jesus? If you do, there's no other hope for you. Teenager, adult, child, there's no other hope for you. You know what? I realize that these people were very displeased when these young children were getting saved. They didn't like it. They didn't understand it. I remember when Bob Bajeski, our deacon, received Christ as his Savior. I remember he went to his Catholic priest to tell him what had happened to him, and the Catholic priest did not understand it. He was displeased with it. He basically didn't understand it. I remember my wife, she was a Southern Baptist, and she got saved by hearing the gospel from a couple guys in her college, and she went back to her Southern Baptist pastor to talk about it, and he basically said, oh no, that's just, you just get baptized, that's how you wash away your sins. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. You should get baptized right after your sins are washed away. But that doesn't wash away your sins. Your sins are washed away by Jesus. And these people, they're leaders, they're chiefs in the churches, but they don't know the Lord. But God is saving people. I remember in this church some years ago when I was preaching the Word of God and I was preaching about the command of Christ to tell others about Jesus and to get them to get saved. And the leaders of our church, the chiefs, they said, we don't want to do that. We don't like what the pastor's preaching. And so they wound up saying, if you keep preaching that way, we're leaving. They left. And you know what they left us with? Little kids, young believers that didn't have any money. They were poor. They were like the lame, the needy. And I remember I was teaching just before they left on this passage, and I was teaching in a Sunday school class, and the Lord showed me, this is what your church is going through right now, Pastor. You've got a bunch of people that, you know, when you get saved, by the way, and you get the Holy Spirit and you get the Bible, God helps you to do better financially, doesn't he? Helps you get a job. By the way, that's how you're supposed to work. You're supposed to work, have a job, and pay your bills. And then you can save some money, and you maybe could buy a house, buy things, and you get to be middle class, or you get to be blessed. But a lot of people, when they get that, guess what? They're too big for their britches now. I've been saved. God bless me. I'm financially blessed. I see poor people coming on a bus or coming here. I don't have time for them. I'm too good for that. I don't have time for those problems. Listen, you're just like those Pharisees. Just like these people. And they were displeased with what was going on there. And Jesus said, haven't you heard out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, out of the mouths of these little people, these snotty-nosed bus kids, I've ordained praise. You're too good for them because the Lord lifted you. Don't forget what you've been lifted out of. And we stayed with it, and God blessed. And I'm just saying, this Palm Sunday, we have this presentation, the command of Christ to us as believers to present Jesus to you. The confusion of the congregation because they really didn't get straightened out by faith in Jesus. And then the condemnation of the chiefs. Let's take this to heart this Palm Sunday, and it will change your life. Let's bow for prayer. As we're praying this morning, I want